Srila Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur, there is one offense which you can do while living in Vrindavan. It is to be dissatisfied. This is what he says. Vrindavan manifests as the sweetest and most beautiful, the highest benefit for the devotees. So it's sweet, it's beautiful, it has a lot of blessings for devotees. Those who live there a long time, but there are some people who live there a long time who do not experience the affectionate, intense rasa of Radha and Krishna, because they commit the offense of lack of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. You may understand this like this. Imagine all those who come to Radha and Krishna's own land, Vrindavan, they are the guests of Radha and Krishna. So when Radha and Krishna see that the devotees who live here are dissatisfied, or the people who live here, they feel this as a pinch in the heart. It's an offense. It's almost if you have guests, and then the guests give you a sour face, or we don't like it here, the water is too cold or too hot, or the food is not according to our taste, you feel a pinch in your heart. You may smile outside, but oh, why don't they like it here? I'm trying everything. So Radha and Krishna, when you find yourself becoming dissatisfied, you must do something. I think the easiest is to become humble, because and understand, oh, it's because of my jaundice patient, a jaundice, the disease of ignorance, that I cannot taste that which is sweet. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur makes this point here. He says, those are people who have jaundice, they spit out sweet water because they find it bitter. And because of their jaundice, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, they see white as yellow. They see a conch shell yellow. So because of my material vision, you should think I'm seeing faults in Vrindavan and in the residence of Vrindavan, and it is me who needs to correct his vision, need to become a little humble, to give up this problem of dissatisfaction in Vrindavan. Bhakti, Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur asks us also an important question. Oh brother, I could add, oh sister, what is death? Answer this question. Then he gives the answer, the desire to enjoy the body made of contamination, that is death. Then he asks, I beg you to think about another question. What is disease? And he answers this question, hatred and attachment, which agitates a person externally and internally, that is disease. You can sometimes see this attachment, or especially bad feelings towards others, that contaminates the inner body, and that's disease. Now he asks another question. what is paradise? And he answers the question, paradise is to be in wonderful association with a festival of prema for Krishna. And he ends his question serious. He says, I asked you one last question. What is the greatest secret hidden in the Upanishads? It's very difficult to answer this question. He says, it's the dear couple of Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna. That's the secret of the Upanishads. We will end our thing with something very, very wonderful. I was reading this when I was very weak this morning, because just weak and exhausted. And I was sitting there, this is my favorite place in this room, and I wanted to look out at Giriraj, that has a wonderful darshan from there, but then there was just so much sun coming through the window that I needed to close the window. I thought, oh, I'm so exhausted physically and mentally. I hope I get some strength. Then I read this verse. Radha drik patanam vrinda vipinitra kono vapatram svatyam buhi shakti gatam muktasya evan eva kanta. Who will not become the object of Radha's glances when they stay in Vrindavan? Radha will for sure look at someone. And when this happens, the devotee will develop excellent quality, like when rain or water from the Swati constellation, it's a certain constellation, comes down and falls on an oyster, it develops a pearl. Can you understand? When Radha looks upon you, it's like that particular rain from the Swati constellation, which gives birth in a pearl, which is love. So I'm reading this, and I'm looking at this, I'm looking from that cushion, that the room is closed, and my eyes fall on this picture, which is Radha looking at you. Now, when you, I request you to sit for a moment in that seat. Not now, when we are finished. You would see Radha looks directly at you. So, I could see how Vrindavan and Radha was working. You will say, please sit there. You will faint. So in Vrindavan, everyone will become happy. It's only a question of time when the rain of Radha's mercy falls, because Vrindavan is a very special place, and how special it is, I will say with the last verse. Everyone in this world is happy and sad according to the external circumstances. And when it's too hot, we feel. But please forget all this and remember that Radha and Krishna are happy lying down on the ground in Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna just lie down in the shady, under the shady trees, in the on the ground of Vrindavan. We normally hear of flower beds, no? But here we hear on the ground. When I was doing Dandavat Parikrama, during noontime, we became sometimes very tired, and what we did is we just laid down on the ground of Vrindavan and just slept until we, and it was a very happy feeling. Most probably you have done that also, just sleeping on the ground, just no arrangement. Maybe if you need something for the head, you can find perhaps a brick, and that's all right. You're so tired and you're so happy. So why is it that we become so happy in Vrindavan? Because Radha and Krishna lie down on this ground. God sleeps on the earth of Vrindavan. So these are some points from Vrindavan Mahimamrita. It's very nice to see Vrindavan through the eyes of Prabodhananda Saraswati. He describes himself as a poor mad with love. So I wanted to also ask Krishna Murari, there's a special reason why I'm asking him about this, but the reason will be revealed. Song of something about the Kali, Damani, how Krishna subdued the Kali snake and actually made him a great woman. He also, no, it's all right. I'm finished, please. Well, I can also say in the Kaliya Daman Leela, and I want to read this night, I'm so curious. At the end, when Kaliya had surrendered to Krishna, he took him to an island in the Yamuna and he worshipped him together with his wives, the Nagapatnis, and they gave him a beautiful garland of lotus flowers, but they also gave him this jewel which Krishna always carries from that moment on, the Kustuba jewel. It was, you know, it's like a red ruby, but it has the shape of a calf, and it was somehow in the treasury of Kaliya. Now, I have forgotten, Krishna Murari, if you remember this detail. I don't know. It's an eternal ornament of the Lord, but it was in the treasury. It somehow came in the treasury of Kaliya. You know how it came? Or?
Usually, special snakes are usually, you know, the special snakes who are like, you know, there's even a saying that those snakes who live for long, long years, they possess a money, you know, a jewel, they possess, and Kaliya was one of them. In the Shastras, different things are described, said about the different jewels. For example, the moon itself has a money, a jewel which is known as Chandrakanti money, which gives this effulgence to the moon. When Krishna won over the beauty of Chandra on the day of Vasant Purnima, on the day of Vasant Panchami, on the day of Vasant, you know, the spring season's Purnima, the Ras is there on Chandra Sarovar. And there when Krishna won over Moon, because Moon considered himself to be very, very beautiful. And just by witnessing Krishna's Rasa Leela, he was struck. He could not move. He was standstill. So when he felt that there's someone who is even more effulgent than him, then the Moon himself came and surrendered his Chandrakanti Mani, the jewel which he possesses, which is like the foremost thing for him. So Chandra came, the Moon delivered or surrendered the greatest thing which he has to Krishna. In the same way, when Kaliya had this Kaustubha Mani, which was like everything, that was taken. So Krishna desires, feels so good when something which is of like the utmost thing which we possess in our life, when we surrender it to him, in that. Even Ashwatthama was insulted or disrespected, the money was only taken out. The jewel was taken out from Ashwatthama himself. So the jewels are surrendered to Thakurji. There are, as we were hearing from Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrit, that the mercy of Shriji's glance are always raining in Vrindavan. There are two lines which say, Vrindavan barsat rahe prem ahir nishbho. In Vrindavan, prema is raining. Vrindavan barsat rahe, constantly raining. Prem ahir nishbhor, it is raining in the afternoon, and nish in ratri, in night, and in the morning as well. Pranatavasala Shri Radhika, the one who is inspiring this rain to happen. Where is the source of this rain? The source of this rain comes from Pranatavasala Shri Radhika Barsano Sirmur. The source of this rain of love comes from Barsana. And the one who inspires this rain to happen is Shri Radhika. Although Krishna, who has all the knowledge, he knows all the different arts and everything, he possesses all wealth and everything, but what Krishna really lacks is devotee's love. When he sees this love from someone, he forgets all knowledge, all wealth, everything he forgets. All Aishwarya goes away. All knowledge goes away. All the art, skillful knowledge which Krishna possesses goes away. When once Shri Krishna saw Srimati Radharani dancing with the Sakhis, he was so amazed to see Sriji dancing. So he started approaching Srimati Radharani so that Srimati Radharani could teach Krishna how to dance. And when he approached, the gopis already knew, Lalita, Vishakha and the other Sakhis already knew that why is Krishna really coming here for? So they instructed Sriji that you have to say no to everything what he desires. And as soon as he reached there, he asked, "Oh Sriji, you dance so nicely, so nicely. I want to be a direct disciple of you in the art of dancing." And then Sriji was already ordered by the other gopis that you don't have to allow him. If you teach her, if you teach him, he will come some days after, he will dance in front of you and he will say, "Oh, I can dance even better than you. He is so tricky." So Sriji said, I cannot teach you. Krishna said, "But I have already accepted you as my guru in this art of dancing. I cannot learn from anyone else." But Sriji still replied that I cannot teach you. From that day onwards, Krishna took a vow that I have to learn how to dance directly from Sriji. In the ancient paddhati, in the ancient process of learning some skillful arts, either you learn directly from a guru, or even if you make a beautiful form or a deity or a swaroop of your guru, either by painting, either by, you know, making a deity of your guru, and then you practice in front of the guru, it is almost the same as if you are directly learning from him. Shri Krishna, in one of the kunj of Shri Giriraji, made a special form of Sriji, and he would go there to practice in front of her. And when Krishna would go to that kunja, he would carry a broom along with him. A broom, and he would not walk straight. He would walk in backward direction. And when he would walk in backward direction, he would sweep the feet, the impressions of the feet from the dust, so that no one knew that where he was going. And when he would go, he would practice and he would come out. So when a shishya, when a disciple learns some skillful art, then he has to pass an examination. A test has to be there whether he can really dance properly. So he wanted to show Sriji that I have learned from you, you being my great, great teacher, I have learned from you, and just see how nice I can dance or no. When Krishna jumped into Yamuna at the time of Kaliya Leela, when he came out and when he danced on the hoots of Kaliya, it was a examination of Krishna in front of Sriji. That his guru, Sri Krishna's guru, Sriji, is just standing there and she's witnessing how beautifully can Krishna dance from one hood of the Kaliya to another, And this was an examination of Krishna which he passed so well, that he could dance not only on the surface of the earth, but even on the hoods of a great serpent like Kaliya. In the Leela of Braj, we have so many different perspectives which have been, or the visions which have been given to us by the different acharyas or rasiks. A devotee should go beyond, you know, his path. There is a defined path for us according to our guru line, according to our siddhanta, according to our sampradaya, what we follow. But in Vrindavan, it's a land of love, and here we go beyond some of the things and we follow that line of love. One sadhu in Vrindavan said that yes, we should definitely follow the line of acharyas, everyone, but when we reach Sri Goloka, we will find the acharya from this sampradaya, from this line or this structure, this institution, all of them will be there together, and they will be happily sitting there and enjoying with Thakurji in such a good way. So Vrindavan, the paddhati of Vrindavan, the way of Vrindavan is the rasik paddhati is there in Vrindavan. The path of love is the path which everyone walks in Vrindavan. So when we have different visions which have been given by the different acharyas who have personally realized Sri Thakurji or Sriji's Leela in Vrindavan in these different ways, these different visions, they really make our taste so much connected towards Sri Ji and Thakur Ji in Vrindavan.
Yes, even Narottam Das Thakur says the path I'm walking on has become very slippery. Sometimes I'm more left, more right, because there was a shower of love. <You know? laughs> Good, so we will end here. Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam.